Hey everyone, welcome to the Here to Listen podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Durge, and today I'm joined by indie pop star Cody Lawless. With more than 20 million streams, the artist formerly known as Known is coming full circle in his artist evolution and bringing his flowy falsetto and summery sound to his debut album, Sunshine State of a Happy Camper. Here to tell us all about it, please welcome to the show, Cody Lawless. Hi,
What's
Cody.
What's going on? How's it going?
Good, good. Okay, so first off, I got to start with that album cover and title. Can you tell me more about how that came about?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, I wanted to like show, because me, like, I'm a pretty positive guy, right? So me, like, I have a firm belief that no matter what's going on in your life, it's always about you who can really kind of dictate how you're going to feel about it, right? So the sunshine state of a happy camper is, it just comes from like the saying, you know, when someone's like, oh, like, you're a happy camper or whatever. So yeah. It comes from that. But then, just like a sunshine state of mind. Right. Like it can always be sunny, even if there's overcast, like right now, you know. Ooh. And then the album cover, I wanted to show more of in like a physical aspect. Right. So on the cover, I have like a black eye and a bloody nose, and I just look like I got beat up, but I still have the biggest smile on my face. Right.
Yeah.
So it's just to show like no matter what's going on in your life, like you can just smile through it. It takes effort though, but yeah, you can smile through it. And then obviously I had like the Boy Scout outfit just because the happy camper, you know.
Yeah. I was going to ask why you cut up that pretty face of yours.
it was just for that. Yeah.
It has that interesting dynamic though, you know, like the dichotomy between like being happy, but also having other stuff going on that's maybe darker or tough, right? Do you find that it really flows into the themes of the album?
Yeah, absolutely. Like there's like like on the song Sally, it just talks about like all the downfalls of all these people that are in this like made up town I came up with. And at the end of the day, it's just like the way you think about it, the way it's gonna come out, like turn out.
On a side note, I love those patches that you have.
I have them right here. This is like Hold My Hand Maria. Yeah. Quality is really good too. Send me your shipping address and we'll send you a couple.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I'd love that.
Stay there. My favorite is like Friday Night with the Neighbors is cool, but my favorite is Santa Rhea. Like, looks like a real patch. Like, it's it's so cool. They're amazing. Also, to go with like the happy camper vibes, right?
Yeah, 100%.
It's so funny for the album, like the album cover. I got this, like, it's this. Like a real life, like Girl Guides patch, sash from, I got it from like Facebook Marketplace. I had my sister go like pick it up, but it's funny because it has like all these like real Girl Guides like patches on it, but it's too small for me. So you have to like pin it to my back and stuff just because I'm like, I'm way too big for this like fit around me. But yeah, it makes for a cool story.
It does. And that photo shoot seems pretty iconic.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was really fast, actually, too. Like, my manager, KC, his fiance actually shot all the photos for the album cover.
Wow.
Yeah, so her name's Emily. She's super, super talented, great photographer. And yeah, she shot the album cover for it. And then my friend Rose did all the makeup for it. Yeah. Wow. I remember I put it on, like, my Instagram of just, like, my face all bloody and bruised. I got hundreds of messages of people like, dude, what happened? Are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. It's just a photo shoot. I didn't know it was gonna cause people to get frightened.
I hope you do a music video at some point. I don't know if I missed it, but like, I didn't really see any like video visuals of you in that kind of outfit out in the woods and stuff. That could be a cool concept.
Wait till the Grace video comes out next week.
If you could describe your sound as like a scene out of a movie, how would you, like, what would that scene look like?
It's funny you ask that because I actually made this album based off of like images that I've just came up with out of my head, right? So this might be a little long story, but I don't know if you're straddling.
Yeah.
So when I was younger, I was like 18, 19 years old, fresh out of high school, and I used to smoke like a lot of weed, right? So I would just be like up late at night, 2, 3 a.m. in my living room. Just came home, very intoxicated, and I would put my headphones on and I would listen to all these surf rock songs from like these bands, Plums and Skags and Tame Impala and Hockey Dad, all the like the Aussie scene, right? And so Sunshine State, I didn't have the title at that time, but what it really, the concept of it really was when I was younger and I would smoke a lot of weed and listen to this music, I'd always dream up of all these different scenarios and scenes from this beach town, right? I wanted to be like a screenwriter for like a movie, and I wanted to direct a movie, sorry. And so down the line, like a couple of years later, I'm like, you know, I would love to make a movie about all these kids in these in this beach town with like, you know, the Ford Broncos with the tops off and driving down the coast on the beach and just like riding motorcycles and stuff like that. But to me, I was like, okay, this isn't going to be a realistic goal because I like to make music and I have no experience writing screenplays or writing anything, right? So I was like, let's just throw this into an album. Kind of went away from your question there, but yeah, like beach town, nice, beautiful sunsets. That's what the album is to me. There's a song on the album called "I'm So Lucky," and when I wrote it, it's about like falling in love with this guy falls in love with this girl while he's on psychedelics at a party. In like in the verse, there's like a part where it's like I'm like I forget the lyrics off the top of my head, but it's just like he's going down the hall like stumbling, right? And everything's off balance, and yeah, it's cool. I love to set the scenes in the songs, and so when you listen to the album. I don't know if my manager had sent it to you prior, but yeah, you heard it the whole
Yeah,
thing?
I heard it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
there
I
you
loved
go.
it.
Yeah, so it's very the album's very descriptive in some parts, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I got that vibe and get there, stay there. That I had read that it was a letter to yourself, but I wouldn't necessarily get that from the lyrics.
Totally. Yeah. Like in the verse, it's like, hey, boy, father, what you want to settle less, boy. Right. So it's just like, that's really me just like talking to myself. Like, you need to settle less and you need to, I don't know, take life by the balls with no better way of saying it.
So I'd love to know more about your influences, and I don't always ask that question in interviews because I feel like, you know, you always hear that question. I'm sure you've got it a lot as an artist, but the reason why I ask is because you really have such a unique sound, but I can hear some influences from other artists as well.
Yeah.
But it's like this unique mix of like I can't necessarily put my finger on it.
Yeah. I mean, off the top of your head, what would you guess?
So, I don't know if you're a Lana Del Rey fan at all.
Yeah.
So, that album, Ultraviolence, I love Ultraviolence.
Amazing.
You
That's
know
with
that.
Brooklyn Baby, right?
Yes.
Yes,
And that
that's one of my
song,
favorite songs of all time.
that's so funny that you say that because I literally have in my notes that your song, Hold My Hand, Maria, that riff in that song reminds me so much of
Oh,
Brooklyn Baby.
no way. Oh, that's a huge compliment. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and that
Thank
album
you.
is iconic, and
Wow,
I
I love
love
it.
Brooklyn Baby too. So that's wild that you say that, but I
Yeah.
definitely get more on the instrumentals, but then like vocal wise, it's more it reminded me of Foster the People, and I've read that Mark Foster was one of your influences. So I'm like, and that was after I already thought, oh, this is kind of like Foster the
Oh,
People
sick.
vibes, and even like Sir Sly. I don't know if you sir know Sir Sly, but
Know the name, yeah.
So I hear some influences in there. Would you say that that's pretty like spot on? Maybe some Weekend a little bit too.
Yeah, so yeah, like I would say like my sound is like a cross between Mark Foster and I would say a little bit of Kevin Parker from Tame Impala. And then there's this band from Boston called Plums, and the singer Sam Glick is like one of my like favorites. Like I message him sometimes on Instagram, and every
Oh,
time he responds
really?
to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? Yeah, so band Plums. So those three are like probably like my biggest influences. I wouldn't pinpoint Lana Del Rey as a big influence, but I love the visual aspects of her whole entire thing, you know? So I think really, just the way she describes stuff in her music would be a huge, huge thing for me. Like the whole album, like Norman fucking Rockwell, right? Incredible masterpiece of an album, right? And it's just so and it's beautiful, right? So I would say, like, actually, yeah, you're right. I think Lana Del Rey would be a little bit of an influence now that I think about subconsciously, right?
Yeah, and that song on the album Venice Bitch is one of my
Crazy.
favorites. I listen to it every night.
Yeah, it's incredible. My favorite's Cinnamon Girl.
Oh, that's an iconic song too.
Love it. It's awesome.
So I'm glad we're on the same wavelength with that because I definitely got some vibes, but it's also so unique. And the fact that you can go into that falsetto so easily, but then go into more of like kind of like a rap vibe as well. I love it. I love the album. I heard some songs and I was like, I gotta get this guy on the podcast. And so I'm glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
No worries. I noticed on your TikTok and also in your music videos, you seem to really like to play characters. I know the album, the intro is from like a fake radio DJ that you've made up named Clyde Cooper. And he's so funny, and it's like a great way to start the album and go right into the next song. But is that something that you really like to do, is to play these characters?
I love it. I love it. I think I don't even know where I really like got that from. But I love to play characters. Because I like to put characters in my music and then really like put pieces of myself into every single one. So like one character, like Maria, the Bohemian girl from that song, right? She carries a piece of me because that's a piece of me where it's like I like to do my own thing and I don't care what things. You know what I mean? So Maria has that part of me, and then Get There, Stay There doesn't really necessarily have a character, but it's really truthfully just me talking to myself. So I love like blending and throwing different pot like pieces in the pot of just like my own personality into different characters.
Yeah, you mentioned Get There, Stay There, and I know we talked about that earlier, but I will say that that's probably right now that's my favorite track
Thank
on the
you.
album. It's so fun.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's really fun live. It's funny that you said you're from Toronto. We were just in Toronto last week
I
playing shows.
know. I
Yeah.
know. I haven't seen you live in person, but from the videos I've seen, it's almost like you're in a different world. Do you find that when you're performing?
Yeah, like when I get on stage, it's just completely switched.
Yeah.
My personal what I am. Like, 'cause I'm a pretty calm guy. I wouldn't say like calm, but like I like to have fun, but when I get on stage, it's like boom, okay, let's do it. Let's give these people a show. Let's give them something that they come home with and like, well, that guy was really good. You
Yeah.
know, I'm a pretty goofy guy, but when I get on stage, it's like let's give these people like something that they want to come back for.
Yeah. Well, I can see that from the videos. I
Thank
still got to experience that in person, but
you. Really.
but yeah, that song, Get There, Stay There. Did you really get a tattoo on your chest like that music video?
No, well, I got Happy Camper on my chest.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And that was happening live while you were filming?
Nah. So I was telling my friend, so my friend Jody, he like does like all of my tattoos, right? Majority of like my tattoos done by like my really good friend Jody. Owns a shop in Cultus Lake in British Columbia. And so I was texting him and I'm like, man, I really want to put this scene in the video. And he's like, yeah, like it might take a little while. And we didn't have that much time, like at the space that we were shooting the music video. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll come the day before. But I'm so glad I came the day before because that was the most painful tattoo I have on my body. I have like quite a few tattoos on my body. Like I have like almost like a full sleeve on my right arm and stuff. But yeah, that was the most painful tattoo. And so I had to like sing it at the shoot while he's like doing it. So I'm so glad I did it the day before because I was just like this the whole time, like, like squinting and just like holding my face, just like, oh, Yeah.
I was wondering that watching the music video because you really kept like such a straight face while you were singing. I'm like, damn, you have a high pain tolerance because I feel like
Well,
this would hurt.
I have a high pain tolerance, but just something in that spot was way too tender.
just a quick break. I'd like to thank everyone for listening or watching this episode and ask that you support the podcast by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, following on Spotify, leaving a review, subscribing on YouTube, following us on social media. The username is Here to Listen Pod. That's H-E-A-R, Here to Listen Pod, P-O-D. Now back to the show. Your song on the album called Friday Night with the Neighbors. I know you talk about how it's supposed to bring you back to when you were a kid, you know, the listener and experiencing life for the first time. So I'm wondering, what was your childhood like?
My childhood was very sports oriented. I was always a big kid, so I always played basketball. Like I'm 6'5 right now, but when I was like younger, I was pretty big for my age. So I always played basketball. I was in football and I played like lacrosse and stuff. It's like a lot of love. My family's a very loving family, so it's always like I love you before leaving or lots of hugs, right? And we were always just like taught to literally express ourselves. You know, I have two older sisters, so I learned a lot from them as well. I'm the youngest. I'm the only boy. Yeah, my parents are still together. Super, super nice people. Tammy and Lawrence. I got Tammy tattooed on. Got Tammy tattooed on my arm there.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Mama's boy. But yeah, I had a great upbringing. Great upbringing. Yeah, my dad introduced me to music. At my first, like my first concert, I was 10. I went to Iron Maiden.
Wow. Like
arena in Vancouver. Yeah, and I was a metalhead kid, right? I'm just like, let's go. Yeah. it was super fun though. It was super fun. I had a good childhood. I've had like the same friends, same like core friends since I was like kindergarten, grade 5.
I know you collab with one of your friends from high school.
Mm-hmm. Paufu.
Paufu, also known as Isaiah. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're going on tour with him in the fall, which is exciting. And you're going to be, I know, in Europe, which is amazing. Tell me a little bit more about that friendship.
Yeah, it's sweet. So we went to high school together. He's a year older than me. So we actually didn't speak to each other in high school at all. Like we knew of each other. His younger sister Patience was in a lot of my class, like a lot of my classes. So me and her are pretty tight. But it wasn't until like after high school that our mutual friend Josh introduced us. And we just like went to a park one day and played basketball or something. But then we like both like hit it off pretty well. And then we just went to his house one day and just like started making music. And ever since then, it's just been like a very fruitful friendship of just, you know, a lot of laughs and a lot of music being made.
Yeah. And you have some great collabs. I've told you before the interview that one of my favorite songs you have is Latency.
Oh, Latency. Yes.
That's such a good song. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people can probably relate even with the lyrics, falling in love with the latency. And, you know, I feel like we've all done that. You're falling in love what could be, you know, absolutely, rather than maybe what's actually there. Mm-hmm. So can you talk more about like the meaning of that song?
Yeah, I'm a big fantasizer, you know? And so I think that's what that song is all about, is just fantasizing about something that may not come true. That song came together like really fast. It was weird. Yeah. It was like our studio, so me and Paufu both live in Mission, right? But our studio is all the way like South Vancouver, which is it's like right by the airport, so it's like an hour and like 20 minutes with like normal traffic. But that day I remember it was like really bad traffic, so it took me like an hour and 40 to get there or something. But Paufu left a little later than me, so he was a little late. So we had like 30 minutes. So my producer Bounce was just like, let's just like lay some stuff down. And it was the first sample he played was Latency sample. And I immediately did the chorus like that. Just like right
there.
Yeah. And then Isaiah came in and then he was just like, yeah, I like this. This is dope. And then so we like worked on the song and then he left and then I finished my parts and then we sent it back to him and then he finished his part like maybe like a couple months later. And then that's when that song came. Yeah.
Great song.
Thank you so much. I love it. It's so much fun to play live too.
So you've written a lot of lyrics. What lyric would you say is your favorite?
I really like Hold My Hand Maria a lot. Because dreams are made from broken bones and I need peace to find my home. And that place is away from you. Peace to find me. That's my favorite for sure.
Wow. And you've experienced that in life before, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, that was just like when I was going through that relationship, right? And I was just like, you know, I need peace right now in my life, because I was going through a very anxious time. And I was like, this person is not bringing me peace. So I need to, you know, find my own place.
Yeah.
Away from that person.
Wow. Do you feel like you've gotten there now?
Oh, I feel great now.
Yeah.
Yeah, very understanding of self, you know, you go to therapy.
Yeah.
You know, it takes work to like really be okay with who you are, you know. I feel like I'm at a place now in my life where I'm like, okay, I'm cool with being where I'm at.
Yeah, and that's a great place to be.
Exactly.
And you're creating great art as well.
Yeah, I feel like that's a big factor of just like being okay with yourself is having an expression, like having an outlet, you know?
You talk a lot about love in your lyrics and in your songs as well. How would you describe your perfect romantic partner?
I feel like someone who really understands me is a very patient person. Yeah, I'm not like the biggest. I'm not like the biggest, like, oh, they got to be like 10 out of 10, beautiful, perfect. Because me, like, I really don't have any type. And my friends always make fun of me for it. So to me, it's just one of those things where if a person clicks with me, like on a personal level, that's where it happens. Right. But I love humor. I love just accepting people for who they are. And if someone is big into kindness and, you know, very selfless person, that's, I think, would be like my romantic partner.
So you're still searching for the one.
For the one. Yeah. I've never been in love before, believe it or not. Right.
Oh,
with all these love songs. So like I said before, like in the other question, it's like I'm a big fantasy guy, right? Like I'm big fantasizing about stuff. So yeah, I just feel like I talk about it a lot because it's something I desire, just like every other human on earth, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of fun though. It's like an escape.
Oh yeah, it's the best. It's sweet. Cause like that's the cool with like music, is like I can write songs from the perspective that I've already been in love, you know, but I've never been in love. You know, so maybe one day when I am in love, I'll be like, man, these are not like the songs at all. This shit sucks, maybe, or something like that. I don't know.
The thing is some of the songs may relate to certain people in love and the way that maybe they express love. And then maybe once you write songs when you're actually, you know, in love, you'll have a whole other audience of people that experience love that way, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, you mentioned Grace, Sally, and Maria on the album. Yeah. Who would fit out of those three? Who would fit the perfect one for you?
Oh, I've never met a Sally. It's just a made up one. I know a couple Marias. It was funny. I made the song and then I was at the gym and then my friend Maria was like, thanks for writing a song about me, man. And I'm like, yeah, I love you, but it's not about you. It's just like a made up name. But I know a Grace, and the only person that's on the album with the name on the album that I actually like know, and that song is like an actual experience, is Grace.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, that song is a very personal song. Like, it seems like you're very into Grace.
That was like the closest probably I've ever been to like being in love with someone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a long-term relationship, or this was something different?
We just never were in a relationship. It was one of those things where it was one of those, you both want it, but you're both too far away, both not at the same place in life. One of those things. She's one of my really close friends still. So
what does she think of the song?
She loves it. She she like texted me the other day. Actually, she like took a picture of like on my Instagram when I'm promoting it, and she's like, okay, I see you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's stoked for it to be released. She's like, no one's ever written a song about me before, or written a song about me before. So, yeah, it's cool.
I always wondered what it would be like to have a song written about you, right? I think it'd go one of two ways. Either you're very impressed and like super excited about it, or you're like, oh, it's giving you the ick.
Well, I wrote the song after we had met for the first time. You know when you can't have something and you want it more?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically what that song's about.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I know that feeling for sure.
You know?
Tell me more about the song I'm So Lucky. And what sparked that, you know, that gratefulness that I feel like comes through in that song?
For sure. So I went through a pretty rough experience back in 2020. Just like I'm sure like a lot of people did with the whole pandemic going on and, you know, just like adapting to life. But I decided to try LSD that year. Terrible trip. Terrible trip. And it like put me in this weird state of like for 3 weeks after I did. Well, number one, I had like a really, really bad trip, right? Terrible trip. At first it was terrible, then it got good, then it got bad again. Anyways, for 3 weeks after the acid trip, like my serotonin was like through the roof, right? So I went to bed some nights like not being able to sleep because I was so excited to wake up the next morning. You know, like that's just not normal. And then all of a sudden, just like I just crashed and I entered this weird, I want to say psychosis thing of not being able to regulate my emotions at all. I was basically in like a panic attack, and this might get a little dark, but I was going through like very suicidal thoughts around that time too. So I basically like phoned Mission Mental Health, and I was like, I need your guys' help now. I need something to get better. And they ended up putting me on escitalopram, which is a SSRI anti-anxiety medication. Been on it since 2020. And so I wrote I'm So Lucky because it was a lot of work from 2020 to like 2022 or whenever I made that song. It was a lot of work in those 2 years for me to get to a place where I'd feel lucky to be alive and that I didn't take my life, you know? No matter how like serious I actually was about it or if I was just toying with the idea, but I'm very lucky that I reached out for help because I know a lot of people don't, because a lot of people feel alone. But just like what you asked me before of you know, how were you raised? I was raised with a lot of love and a lot of being able to like speak about stuff, which again, I'm so lucky because a lot of people don't have that. So I reached out for help, and it took me like 3 years now to be at a place where I'm feeling like really, really good with myself. So that's what that song represents. Just being lucky to be alive, you know, and just being lucky to stand in my own skin right now and just be okay with it and be okay with whatever happened in my past or whatever happened in my childhood. And, you know, that's also like why that second verse, the rap verse, is written about like some dude like falling in love with a girl while being on LSD, you know, because I wanted to put a part of that LSD experience within the song that's actually like about like the fallout of my LSD experience.
I'm sure a lot of people watching or listening can relate, whether it's them or a friend or a family member, or just being in that state of wanting to get help, but maybe feeling afraid to reach out. So you talking about that is, especially for men's mental health, you know, I think is such a great thing. And I'm glad you're still here.
Thank you. Thank you.
So thank you for sharing that.
Of course. Yeah, like men's mental health is tricky too, right? Because it's one of those things where ever since like the dawn of time, right? We just have this essence about us where it's like we don't want to ask for help for anything, you know? But that's like that is like is it is like whether you want to call it a masculine or what like it's good to talk about your emotions. And the more people realize that, the more better off is we're gonna be as like a society. It's not weak at all. It's not, you know, you're supposed to cry. That's what humans do. You know, you're supposed to cry, you're supposed to let it all out. You're supposed to talk to someone, right? That's what it's all about. You know, that's why we have mouths and that's why we have ears, so we can talk and understand each other. You know?
Do you feel
Yeah.
like you have a support system in place now, like the people around you and
Yeah, I have like a lot of great people surrounding me. You know, I have a great therapist as well. Shout out to Robin.
Shout out to
she's super
Robin.
awesome. Shout out to Robin. She really helped me. Yeah, she's super cool. And my parents are great. My friends are great. My manager's great. You were talking to Casey on email. He's awesome. A lot of my music friends, like just like a lot of people in my life are very understanding and loving people. I always say. And my photographer Sarah, she Viper Visual, she shoots a lot of my photos. She always says, she's like, Cody, you always keep like the best people around, you know? And I'm like, yeah, you got to keep loving people that make you feel good about yourself. You don't want to like hang out with people and then leave feeling like shit, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about the good vibes.
Exactly. You want people that can put a smile on your face around.
Yeah, 100%. What was it like to tour when you were 18, you know, touring at such a young age?
It was crazy. It was cool. It was like, I was rapping at that time. So it was a very, very different vibe than what's going on now. But it was cool. You know, we were gone for like 2 months. It was like 63 days or something. We played 47 shows. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, we played like 30 shows in Canada. And then we played 17 in the States, which was wild. So I saw like a lot of the US and Canada before I was like even legal age. You know, I remember, it's funny that I say that because I remember we were in like Mesa, Arizona, or Mesa. And they wouldn't let me perform because I was too young. Right. So I just had to like, sleep in the van.
No.
Yeah, just had to like chill on my phone in the van. It was funny. Yeah, it was sick.
Could you ever see this album turning into a movie? Because I know you talk a lot about the different characters and you've already done a lot of visuals for the album.
Yeah, like that was the main goal. When we were first like pitching before we were signed or anything, that was the main goal. And then we're like, hey, we gotta be realistic. We're like a new artist. No one's gonna give us the budget for this.
At the very least, I feel like some of these albums should end up on a TV or movie soundtrack.
Yeah, that's the goal, right? So like with like Sync and the publishing side of my record label, that's what we're really going for too. So I think once the album drops, I think there might be a few placements here and there, which would be sweet.
Ooh.
Mm.
That could be really cool. Imagine seeing your song in a movie.
I'd be sick. I'd have to stay to the end of the credits.
Well, who said it's going to be at the credits?
I mean, I just want to see my name in their song from.
Oh.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking it's going to be like within the movie, but you know, when I listened to Get There, Stay There, I could see that especially being 100%. Some kind of like a Netflix show or like on the big screen.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I'll send you a few demos for like we're already working on the next album. So we have like, I don't know, like 8 or 9 demos already for the next one. I'll send you a couple that really sound like this could be, remember what's that commercial from? It's a Canadian commercial. So I know you'll know it. Maybe it's TELUS or what's the company with the hamsters?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Kia? Is it Kia? It's like the car commercial.
Yeah. It always like there's one song in the album that's like, yes, that could be a Kia commercial.
You know? Of them just driving around town and jamming out. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that'd be sick. So I'll send that one to you after. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Okay, I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you say is one thing that you're missing in your life right now that you're really craving?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
It's making me think. I think sometimes I can be really hard on myself of, like this is not successful enough or, you know, or just like one of those things where it's like, I should be here when I'm not there yet. Just like, you're not exceeding expectations. I feel like one thing I need in my life right now that I'm craving would probably be like just being okay with what's going on and let divine timing take its place. That's probably where it would be. And then maybe like a gordita from Taco Bell or something right now would be fucking sick. So,
order two, send one my way.
Yeah, absolutely. There we go. But yeah, so that would probably like be my biggest thing. Because like when it comes to like, I know like the obvious answer probably would have been like, oh, like love, you know, because all these songs about love. But I'm at a place right now in life where it's just not something I'm rushing to.
Yeah.
Like going on tour and all that type of stuff is just like, I wouldn't have time for it. Mm-hmm. Right. But, I feel like just like self-acceptance of like where I am right now, not being so hard on myself would probably be the thing I need in life right now.
What would be your biggest fear?
Ooh. I think like my biggest fear would probably to have like what happened after like the whole a psychedelic experience come back of that feeling of just super uneasiness and never feeling quite okay. That's probably like my biggest fear of like, I guess like relapsing in a sense of what your brain's going through. My biggest fear, I think would alongside that first one I told you would probably be about me not trying my hardest, you know, because success to me isn't oh, we got a Grammy, or oh, we won a Juno, or my album sold this many. It's just like trying. If I give up, that's my worst fear. If I give up, you know, success to me is trying, putting your all into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you feel like that's what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I'm giving it my all for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at right now.
What's something that people don't know about you?
That's a really good question too. I've never thought of these before. Something a lot of people don't know about me. Probably like on like a surface level, I'm a diehard Canucks fan.
Oh,
Got the jersey on right now. Love
okay.
hockey. That's like a way me and my mother bond together. Which a lot of people are gonna be like, dude, the Canucks suck. Which, you know, they've hit a rough patch, but we got it going on. But no, like, yeah, I've never, a lot of people think I get drunk a lot just because I'm kind of weird, you know, on like in real life, people are gonna be like, oh, this guy's, you know, a little something else. But now, yeah, I've just like never drank before, I think. That's like a big one. I don't really party at all. Oh, I love hardcore. Heavy metal is my favorite genre ever.
Wow.
Yeah, I love it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like my favorite genre. I was in Toronto actually last week, and literally I landed, and then 2 hours after we landed, I went to a hardcore show. And then
Wow.
I was like stage dive, not stage dive. I was like crowd surfing, and it was sick. And then the next night, I get up on stage, and I'm like, la la la, you know? It's so funny because like I'll like drive to the studio, and we're going to make these like softer type of pop songs or indie rock songs or whatever. And I'm there just like listening to like crazy death metal the whole drive.
Wow.
It's my favorite genre. That's something that people don't know about me.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Headlining my own tours.
Yeah.
I really, really want to play like a big festival, Lollapalooza or Coachella. Within 5 years, I'll probably be like, what's that? 20, I'll be 28 in 5 years. So I hope to have like, I hope to like own property. That's like my main goal is to like take whatever I make from music and just like own a bunch of properties. Just thinking long term. I think like I kind of want to be like a young dad, you know, maybe have
Yeah.
pop out a little Jimmy or something, you know.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
You know, just yeah, just like own my own place, headline my own tours, make music like the number one thing, employ some of my friends, employ some of my family members as well as like Cody Lawless, the corporation. Yeah, I feel like just helping a lot of people and being in a place where I can like kind of give back to the people that always looked out for me at my younger days.
Wow. Well, we're putting it out there.
Yeah, manifestation, you know?
Yeah. I
Yeah.
love that. So I've got to my final question here, which I'm kind of sad about because it's been such a fun interview.
This is so much fun. I just feel like I'm talking to a friend.
Aw,
Yeah.
you're such good vibes, so it's very easy to like have a conversation with you
Thank
know?
you so
And
much.
I appreciate you opening up too.
Absolutely. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to open up.
Yeah. So I asked this to all of the people that come on the show, all of the guests, and I want to know if you had a movie made about your life or an autobiography that came out, what would be the title of it?
Ooh, that's a really good one. I feel like. Oh, I'm trying to think now. I think I would just title it Happy Camper.
Yeah.
I would just title it Happy Camper, like right down to the nitty-gritty of it, right? I would get Johnny Depp, not Johnny Depp. I would get Brad Pitt to play me, my favorite actor ever.
Oh, okay.
A young Brad Pitt, if that was possible, that would be Cody Lawless.
He's
Yeah.
probably available, right?
I hope so. I hope so. It would be quite a penny. But that's okay. We'll make it work.
Thanks for coming on the show, Cody. You were
Thank
really
you so much,
fun,
Matt.
and this has been
Thank
great. And I can't wait for everyone, if they haven't already, to hear your new album.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you again for having me. It's like so much fun. I think this is my favorite interview I've ever done. So thank you. That was awesome.